Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
A few months ago, my wife, Julie, and I decided to start trying for a family. We moved out of the big city to a small Midwestern Minnesota town, not too far from Grove City. It was time for a change. Hell, we even decided to stop smoking. We found a cheap, recently renovated flat. The entire complex was built in the 50s, but the apartments themselves had been fixed up just recently. We were told by the landlord, an absolutely stunning young woman, that most of the previous tenants decided to move out rather than wait for renovations to finish up. The place was basically brand new. Our apartment was on the ground floor. We didn't want to think about baby-proofing a balcony on the third or fourth floor, and we figured this would only be a stepping stone to get in our own house anyway. Julie had left a job as a high school teacher behind, while I'd gotten a job as a manager at the local warehouse. I'd already worked as a manager previously for the same company, so it was just a matter of finding a suitable transfer. The previous tenants had left us a gift. Sitting alone in the kitchen window was a blue sunflower. At first, I thought it was plastic, but it was perfectly real. The colour was striking. It was still yellow in the middle with black spots, but the leaves were sparkling ocean blue. The flower pot was hand-painted with a small landscape and a shining sun. In plain black text it read, "The Sad Sunflower." "That is just too cute," smiled Julie. "We've got to keep it." I've never been able to say no to her. That big smile of hers could make me do anything. If she wanted to keep the sad sunflower, so be it. I watered it and turned it facing outwards. Oddly enough, it had been leaning inwards, towards the apartment. I thought sunflowers were supposed to follow the sun. Julie just loved it. She already had a good feeling about this place. I wasn't convinced yet, but I figured it was just nicotine withdrawal. Over the following days, I was getting adjusted to my job. I brought in a cake to get to know everyone. Their previous manager had personal issues and suddenly left town, so there was urgent need for someone to step in. It was just great timing for me. Julie was still looking for a new job. There were a few schools nearby that she was going to look up, but we needed a second car first. Money was tight after the move, so we decided to wait a few weeks before making any big purchases. So Julie spent most of her days at home. She'd been clear about wanting to be a stay-at-home mom once we had a family of our own, so maybe she was just trying to get used to the idea. Call it a practice run. She would do a lot of housework and handle the groceries. I usually cook dinner, but she would handle the dishes. One day, after coming home from work, I noticed her humming a strange tune while watering the sad sunflower. I'd never heard it before. "You're my friend, I'll sing your tune, a setting sun to rising moon. I ask you, buddy, buddy blue, won't you be a sunflower too?" I took off my shoes and joined her in the kitchen. She'd hummed the tune over and over, checking every leaf on that sparkling blue plant. It was leaning inwards again, away from the sun, almost like a dog asking for a head scratch. "What's that song?" I asked. "What song?" I asked her several times over. She honestly didn't know what I was talking about. I read it out loud, and she just blanked. The same way I could have sworn I heard her sing it, she swore she hadn't. I turned the plant back outwards towards the sun. The next day, it was leaning back in. That tune started to haunt me. I could hear Julie singing in the shower, while doing the dishes, while tying her shoes. Over time, she came to accept that she was singing it, but she wasn't doing it consciously. It was like a brain teaser. "I must have heard it somewhere," she said. "Some kind of nursery rhyme." I couldn't blame her for having her mind occupied with kids' stuff. It was pretty much all we talked about. We just started trying for a baby, and it would be a matter of time before our lives would change forever. It was stressful, but exciting. More of an adventure than any bungee jumping could ever replicate. Julie got a part-time teaching job at a local high school. One of the teachers was going on maternity leave, so they needed someone to step in and help out with social studies. We didn't have a second car, but one of the guys I worked with lived just down the street, so we started to carpool. I thought having some independence and getting out of the apartment would do Julie some good. It did, at first. She had so much energy when she got home after a long day. Still, she would beeline towards her sad sunflower, take care of it, water it, and only then would she concentrate on anything else. She didn't even take her shoes off. That plant was, by far, her most favorite thing in the world. Honestly, I didn't get it. She still hummed that memory. "You're my friend, I'll sing your tune, a setting sun to rising moon." I once got back home early, only to notice that the sunflower was gone. Julie wasn't home from work, and the thing was just gone. Later, when Julie came home, it all made sense. She held that thing under her arm as she walked through the door. It was almost like someone holding a baby. She had a grocery bag swinging underneath. I'll be first to admit, I didn't handle it very well. "You're bringing it to work?" I accused. "What is going on with you?" "It's nothing," Julie sighed. It's like having a safety blanket. It doesn't mean anything. Then throw it away." She stared at me in disbelief. I took a step forward to help her with the groceries, and she recoiled. Her eyes were dilated, and it looked like she was on the edge of a fight-or-flight reaction. I just stopped. "What the hell?" "Don't you dare," she spat. "Don't you dare." After that, Julie slept on the couch for a couple of nights. It was her idea, not mine. She would give me these long, accusing looks from across the room whenever I was in line of sight of that damn plant. It was still facing inwards. I'm sure the damn thing was moving or turning back every time I tried to face it outwards. I started hearing things at night. I once peeked out the bedroom to see Julie watering and pruning the plant in the middle of the night. She'd sing to it over and over, the same rhyme. In the moonlight, it looked like she didn't even blink. 2:30 in the morning, and there she was, caressing the leaves. There were other things as well. Foul-smelling dirt in the wastebasket, dark blue sunflower seeds scattered around the bathroom. I didn't know what to make of it, but Julie and I weren't really talking anymore. She had no problem talking to that plant, though. "I ask you, buddy, buddy blue, won't you be a sunflower too?" It all came to a boiling point the day when Julie didn't come home from work. Of course, she'd taken the plant with her. I tried her phone, but she didn't pick up. At 7 in the evening, I was getting seriously worried. I called the school where she worked, but of course, it was closed. Instead, I called a co-worker, Miss Marriott. "This is Claire," she answered. "Hey, I'm calling about Julie. This is her husband," I said. "Sorry about calling you like this." "No, it's fine. Is everything all right?" "When Julie came to work, did she seem okay? Did she do anything unusual?" "I'm not following." "Well, like, did she bring..." "No, I'm sorry. I meant, what do you mean, came to work?" Apparently, Julie had quit a temp job about a week ago. I rushed down the street to my co-worker and asked to borrow their car. They didn't mind and even asked if there was anything they could do to help. I didn't even know where to start, so I just thanked them and left. I drove around town for hours, checking every open store, every alley, every side road. Finally, I stopped for gas. As I went inside to pay and get a soda, I noticed the clerk humming a tune. She was reading a magazine and humming away, barely noticing I was even there. I'd recognize that melody anywhere. "Where do you hear that?" I asked. She just looked up at me like she'd woken up from a nap. She had no idea what I was talking about. I just paid and left, figuring Julie had been there. She was close. There was a small dirt road not too far from the gas station, leading down to a fishing lake. All you could catch there was smallmouth bass, but it was a great little place to have a barbecue. I drove down the road, following a hunch. It paid off. Just a few minutes later, I saw a car on the side of the road. The door was still open. Lights were blinking. It was swarming with mosquitoes. I parked alongside it and brought out a flashlight. There was a small trail through the woods, leading up to a clearing next to the lake. It was the only place she could have gone, unless she was mindlessly going random directions. I didn't have to go far to hear her. There was no wind, so even a slight noise could be heard from far away. "I ask you, buddy, buddy blue." The same damn rhyme. Next to the trail, I noticed small, bright stalks reaching out of the soil. They looked freshly planted. I could guess what kind of plant they were, even though they hadn't bloomed yet. "Won't you be a sunflower too?" I stepped into the clearing. I could barely see them all with that tiny cone of light. There were hundreds of them, spread out in a circle. In the middle was Julie, reciting a rhyme over and over. She'd taken off her clothes, and I could see mosquitoes swarming her. It didn't seem to bother her. The melody in her song was gone, turned to a mantra. She was standing with her back towards me, holding her hands in front of her like a cup. She suddenly made a harsh coughing sound and bent forward. I took a few steps and stopped. Every single sunflower turned towards me, blue leaves vibrating like rattlesnakes. Julie turned around. Sunflower seeds were dripping from her mouth. In her cupped hands, she held the same kind of foul-smelling tar dirt that I'd found in the wastebasket. Her eyes were bright blue. Her teeth were stained black. "You're my friend. I'll sing your tune." Sunflower seeds kept falling from the edge of her mouth. She kept coughing, almost choking. She was constantly on edge of inhaling the seeds into her lungs. Her singing voice was broken and struggling. Still, she smiled. The same smile that could get me to do anything. "A setting sun to rising moon." The flowers turned back towards her, vibrating. Tiny leaves clapping in appreciation. I didn't know what to do. I was horrified. I was angry. I was desperate. I froze. Julie walked up to me, holding a large seed between her lips. She took my hands and leaned forward to kiss me. I've never smelled anything so putrid in my life. I think that's what snapped me out of it. It was the only time I refused a kiss from her. I'm not proud of what happened next, but I didn't have a choice. I grabbed Julie and threw her over my shoulder. She protested wildly, scratching and beating me. She had to stop over and over to throw up more seeds and dirt. I just ignored the wounds on my neck and scalp and kept carrying her. I locked her in the back seat of the car and turned on the child locks. As I shut the doors, she was hysterical, screaming and flailing in the back seat like a possessed toddler. I got a jerry can from my car. It was half full. That was enough. I stopped smoking the day we moved into our new apartment, but I still had my lighter. When I stepped back out into the clearing, I could hear something moving. I ignored it. I dumped every drop of gasoline that I had and just set the whole field on fire. I left the lighter behind. As I stepped away, I could hear things popping in the grass, blue leaves crinkling to ash, and somewhere, there were tiny screams. Tiny, bright screams. Something was burned alive in that field, and I don't want to think about what it might have been. It sounded human. Wrong, but human. Julie recovered in a couple of days. The doctors figured she might have been eating seeds from the sunflower and that it contained some kind of poison. The doctors couldn't find anything abnormal about her blood levels, and after a couple of days of rest, she was back to her old self again. Her eyes were back to their ordinary brown, and her smile was as genuine as ever. She was so sorry for all the trouble she caused, and she had a hard time remembering what had happened. To her, it was all just a bad dream. We've since gotten pregnant. Over the months, we've baby-proofed the apartment, but we're already looking to move to a house. Julie got a job back as a temp, and she might be looking at an extension at the end of the school year. She's quite popular. We're thinking about the name Danny with a Y for a boy, or Danny with an I for a girl. We're not sure yet. There's only one thing that still worries me. The ultrasounds. Julie has been taking them while I'm at work, but she's shown me every single image. They look perfectly fine, but on the last one, there was something that didn't add up. In the corner of the picture, the date was set to 5 years ago. I'm suspecting she's not showing me the actual ultrasounds, or that she hasn't taken them. I don't know what she could be hiding. And sometimes, at night, I hear her humming that same damn tune.